Inside the Cross Podcast.
Thanks for coming back to the Inside Lacrosse MCLA podcast. I am Terry Foy, joined by Dave Franklin, as always, and we are bringing you an extra special edition of the Inside Lacrosse MCLA podcast as we look at a showdown week of sorts in both MCLA D1 and D2 action, with premier matchups pitting Colorado State against BYU and St. John's versus St. Thomas, one of the premier rivalries. And truthfully, in all of lacrosse, I think that, for all lacrosse fans, it's one that they should pay attention to when the Johnny Tommy game lines up. But, Dave, we're going to talk to three out of the four coaches. Unfortunately, we weren't able to talk to Alex Smith. We did get a few comments from him, which you'll be able to share with us here in a second. But I guess just to, kind of kick things off, thanks for joining me. And, let's dive in.
Yeah, absolutely. So it should be a very interesting weekend indeed. For sure, all lacrosse fans could appreciate that these four teams, BYU, Colorado State, St. Thomas, and St. John's, play at the elite level of their respective divisions and are really playing some high-quality collegiate lacrosse, whether it's MCLA, NCAA, or not. And certainly should be an exciting weekend. And St. Thomas also has a game against Carleton on Friday night, so it'll be very interesting to see how that dynamic plays in. But what do you think, Terry, before we get into the Alex Smith statement and talking to these coaches? Franklin's 50 Minutes of Fame?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's take a look back.
Awesome. So, Division I Coach of the Week. Got to give it to Chris Gervat from Davenport. I mean, for a first-year head coach in the MCLA who kind of came into the mix last year as an associate under Bob Clarkson after he firmed up his plans to head up the study abroad program at Davenport in addition to receiving his own information technology doctorate. Davenport has just been on an unbelievable tear recently and really kind of redefining the mold of what we've seen recently from teams that have made the transition from Division II championship level to that of MCLA Division I. But a very impressive four-game winning streak thus far, taking down Buffalo, Grand Valley State, and Indiana Tech, two of their former Division II foes, and an 11-9 win against a really feisty Simon Fraser team that never seems to get away. And our Division I Player of the Week really got a hand it to Payson Clark. This was a guy on my Player of the Year watch list that I really kind of said to myself, had a good season last year, helped Arizona State stay the course and get back to the Final Four. Ultimately, I thought that, in his junior season, maybe in some ways, not certainly in his playing style, but I guess in regards to his statistics left a little bit to be desired, but he's really having a breakout year this year. He has a game coming up against San Diego. If he scores one goal in that game, he'll have 44 for the season, doubling his 22-goal effort from last year. Had a chance to speak to Coach Malone earlier in the week. Coach Malone, by the way, actually welcoming his son, Geller Malone, into the world. So congratulations to him and his girlfriend, Megan, on that. Payson Clark was a transfer from Alabama Birmingham, played for Coach Malone in the Arizona Burn Youth Program. He decided to check out Division III East Coast Southeastern Lacrosse for a while, did it for a year, and came back home. And, the funny thing is, Terry, that Coach Malone said that he thinks that Payson could be having an even better season, that there have been a lot of point-blank opportunities that he hasn't connected on. He kind of equates it to his stick string and his mesh. He said that he had some worn-out mesh earlier in the year, and once he was able to restring his pocket, he's really been able to come into form a little bit more. But yeah, Division I, Franklin's 50 Minutes of Fame, Chris Gravatt on the coaching side and Payson Clark on the playing side, just really tearing it up and really increasing his offensive production this year.
And then on the D2 side, a couple of unfamiliar names or positions insofar as both the university from which the coach hails as well as the position from which the player hails.
I'll take it. That's definitely a fair assessment. I gotta tell you, Cal State Fullerton was one of the biggest question marks coming into this season. It was such an erratic year for them last year, having an early season and lost to St. Mary's, that really came back to bite them as they were unable to secure their SLC title. However, they still made claims that they wanted to make the jump to MCLA Division I anyway. They had made MCLA Division II tournaments pass, and despite not being at the Final Four championship level, just felt as though they had the talent, personnel, and drive to make the jump. And then a few weeks later, we hear that the two players really rallying behind this transition are no longer with the program. The head coach resigns, and we, you know, we just didn't really know what to make of the Titans. That being said, Christian Wheeler has done an unbelievable job stepping into the head coaching role for the Titans. This was a guy who played 3 years at the University of California, Santa Barbara, for Mike Allen, transitioned from short stick midfield to close defense, was actually unable to finish up his degree at Santa Barbara and took a year off from school, came back to Cal State Fullerton in hopes to finish up his bachelor's, played starting defense for the Titans last year, was voted a captain unanimously. And when all this stuff kind of happened in the offseason, he's the guy that kind of fell into the head coaching position, has done an unbelievable job with them, has them in a ranked spot, has them in a prime position going into their regional matchup with Concordia, which could decide a lot coming out of that conference. And for a guy that, you know, is in a new situation, only 1 year at the school as a player after having so much experience at another MCLA school, really doing a good job of bringing his elite experience from Santa Barbara to Cal State Fullerton, and for that matter, keeping the Titans on the map. And, you know, admittingly so, I'm not exactly one to, I guess, favor defensive-minded players when you're handing out Franklin's 50 minutes of fame, but I try each week to change it up, and I couldn't ignore Payson Clark on the Division I side, but I'm actually going to talk about a player who used to play for Arizona State, Ben Vasco, played 2 years at ASU. This is a guy who in 3 years playing MCLA lacrosse has been to three MCLA championship games, twice with ASU, only to lose to Michigan and BYU respectively, and then, of course, winning the championship over Grand Valley State last year. But this was a guy who, you know, certainly a Division II caliber All-American player now, but he was of that caliber in Division I when he was an underclassman. He received honorable mention All-American honors while at Arizona State. Had a good experience there, both academically and athletically. Loved playing for Coach Malone. Coach Malone loved having him play for him. And ultimately, it just came down to his major. He wanted, you know, similarly to Hap Knowles, who we talked about earlier this year, just kind of wanted to be close to home, wanted to explore something academically for the long term, in which St. Thomas had a better offering than Arizona State. It was an amiable transfer, and he's really helped St. Thomas continue their elite ways. I mean, listen, he was at Arizona State and lost to BYU in the championship game in 2011, and also had the opportunity to watch St. Thomas lose in the 2011 D2 championship to Davenport. So this guy has really seen it all, similarly to Christian Wheeler, from many angles of the MCLA, and came into St. Thomas last year, and after losing to Davenport in 2011, helped them reclaim the championship in 2012. So these four guys, really some of the classiest, most deserving people of notoriety in the MCLA to date: Chris Gervat, head coach of Davenport; Pacey Clark, a senior attackman out of Arizona State; Christian Wheeler, the first-year head coach and former player for Cal State Fullerton and UC Santa Barbara; and Ben Vasco, the Arizona State transfer, who is now finishing up his collegiate career in hopes of going to four MCLA championship games, trying to win two for the St. Thomas.
Excellent. Well, Dave, as we move forward, we will go ahead and talk to the head coaches of the D2 Game of the Week, St. Thomas and St. John's, as we talk to Derek Dane and Pete Moosberger. And the Inside Lacrosse podcast continues with St. John's coach Derek Dane, whose Johnnies are setting up for their interconference showdown with St. Thomas, an enormous rivalry at the NCAA Division II level. Coach Dane, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Coach Dane, you worked really hard to get four games in the third weekend of February to start the season when the Midwest was really dealing with a lot of harsh weather conditions, but you really battled against the elements to get those games in and get your Johnnies off to a really fiery start. How much do you think getting those games in have really helped your team prepare for this portion of the season?
Yeah, it was a great test for us. There was at one point we didn't think it was going to happen. We actually went out and helped Linwood Belleville shovel their field, and that was it almost felt like a game itself, because it took a about 4 hours to get going. But, you know, overall, a great test. We wanted to see where we stood, if we were mentally tough and if we were physically conditioned where we needed to be. And, you know, obviously, I think we got to see some young guys in those games be productive. But overall, we needed to, you know, use that as kind of a measuring stick to see where we were going to be and where we needed to be for a month later when we went to Chicago. And, you know, we responded well, but obviously there's always, you know, still work that needs to be done after, you know, early part of the season. So it was a good start.
Coach Dane, your defense is one that's, you know, known for its offensive capabilities, and certainly Steve Johnson is a part of that, you know, really special player. But, you know, not scoring goals in necessarily the way that you were last year with only one this season. I guess, can you just talk about the defensive transition that your team has made and that player in particular?
Yeah, you know, I think we've talked a little bit more this year about playing the percentages. I got it from Coach Janowski at the U.S. Lacrosse Convention, and I think we're just trying to play a little bit smarter brand of lacrosse, maybe not taking as many risks. Let's slow the ball down when we have a good turnover and let our offense do its job. You know, I still think that Steve's ready to go. He has that sense of, you know, in a big game, if maybe we need something, that he'll put in a little extra and get that opportunity if it presents itself. But, you know, just being, you know, smarter and patient with the ball and, you know, just kind of waiting for the opportunities to present themselves versus, you know, trying to go and make them happen and maybe putting ourselves in a bad situation. So, you know, I'm sure his time will come and he'll have another opportunity this year.
Stepping up in big moments indeed. That one goal was against Dayton this year. But, Coach Dane, you actually handed St. Thomas their last loss during the regular season last year. You ended up having a rematch, of course, in the 2012 UMLL championship game. What do you think is the main parity in your mind between the victory that you took away in the regular season and the defeat in the regional postseason?
Yeah, I think the big part of the first win was, you know, we had a home field advantage. We had a great crowd out in Collegeville, and I think the team responded to the energy of you know, both teams' fans. You know, the second game around, we just kind of, it felt like not necessarily ran out of gas, but we just didn't do a very good job closing the game out. We had a lead in the fourth quarter, and I don't know if we got complacent, if that's the right word, but, you know, against a caliber, a team like St. Thomas, a championship team, you need to be able to close those games out, and we just, you know, I don't know if we kind of blinked for a second, and that was the difference. I mean, they can score at will almost. So, you know, just a matter of not finishing the game, playing 60 minutes. So, another thing that we've been preaching this year, making sure that we take, you know, make the most of our opportunities.
You mentioned the crowd that you were able to get out for this matchup last year, and certainly this has become, like I said, at the top, a premier rivalry at the D2 level. What, in your mind, makes it so special?
No, I think the big thing is so many of the players on both teams are friends off the field. I think that makes it a little bit special. You know, when you have that, you know, almost like a backyard one-on-one game with your buddy, you try a little bit harder, and I think that's part of it. And then also just really two high-caliber programs that are always looking to compete for the national championship. I mean, they've done great throughout the last 4 years. And we're looking to get on our first, so I think that just adds to the intensity of the game.
Coach, you're a very proard alum of Minnesota Duluth. I had a great opportunity after your game against Dayton in the MCLA tournament last year to talk to both you and Coach Littman. Of course, they had come off of an overtime defeat against Cal Poly in their first round game. UMLL has now lost its AQ at the Division I level to the national tournament with Marquette's departure for the NCAA. Sam has been doing a good job this season. How do you assess him and the Bulldogs' performance and their chances to meet you guys in Greenville?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it was time to have that head coach presence there all season long. Coach Graff and Coach Clark did a very good job for a number of years, but I really think that it was time to have that presence there, you know, at every practice and there on the weekends. It sends the same message, and I think it helps the players with a consistency level. I have no doubt, you know, being a roommate with Sam in college, that he's doing a fantastic job. He's a, you know, top caliber, high quality guy. Overall, for the look for Greenville, I mean, they're right there. They're, you know, hanging around that you know, 13 to 16 mark for a good chunk of the season. Had a great win against Cal Poly earlier this year. I think they need to finish strong and then maybe get a little bit of help. But I definitely think that hopefully their run of making it to Greenville and the national tournament can continue. So we really pull for them and hope to see them there.
Well, Coach Derek Dean, we want to thank you again for your time joining us on the podcast and certainly giving us some insight not just into the St. John's St. Thomas rivalry, but also the world of Minnesota lacrosse. And I want to get you out of here on one more, and that is, you talked at the top about the way in which your team was able to take lessons away from playing so many games in your opening weekend of lacrosse. And here, you know, in this matchup, St. Thomas has a game on Friday leading into yours. I guess from a tactical or strategic advantage, how do you see that type of decision, you know, playing a game shortly before playing another bigger game, you know, another big game, to put it mildly, could potentially affect the way the time is coming into this game?
You know, I don't think it's going to affect them really at all. I think the only advantage that we may have is, you know, our team can hopefully get there and get to see some of their players play live. If you haven't seen somebody play live for a little while, I think that obviously helps with kind of having an idea for the game speed. But, you know, like we talked about with the weather, I mean, this is, you know, just a few days ago, we weren't quite sure if we were going to get this game off with still having a lot of snow up here. So, you know, it's, you got to get games in when you can, and there's only so many weekends with, you know, every school has different conflicts. So, you know, I don't think they necessarily wanted to have that game right before, but sometimes you don't really have a choice in what works for everybody. So, I expect them to come out, you know, ready to go 110%. They're going to give us our best game of the season, and we're looking forward for the opportunity to hopefully, come out on top. So.
Well, Derek Dean, thanks again for joining us in the podcast. Good luck this weekend, the rest of the season, and we hope to talk to you again down the line.
Great. Thank you, guys.
And the Inside Lacrosse MCLA podcast continues with St. Thomas head coach Pete Moosberger, whose team is preparing for their rivalry showdown with St. John's this weekend. And coach, I guess, you got the Tommies on Saturday, but Carleton College on Friday. I guess, what do you make of your first opponent, and do you have any thoughts or concerns when it comes to, I guess, being fresh for a rivalry game when you've got another opponent the night before?
Not really concerned about us being fresh. I think the biggest thing is we can't overlook Carleton, so we've already had meetings and been talking about that. Yeah, there's a big game that's coming Saturday, but in the end, for us to reach our goal of an undefeated season, we have to rise to the challenge of our opponent Friday. Friday for us, it's really about what we have to get better at and the things that we have to do. I haven't had a chance to see Carleton play. So we're going to be kind of adjusting on the fly as that game goes. So in the end, we're kind of preparing for both. But the focus right now is on Carleton and then kind of also St. John's. But we have to get through this game Friday first. And then we'll get together and fully dive into being fully prepared and laser focused on St. John's on Saturday.
Coach Moosberger, I had the opportunity to talk to Chris Malone earlier this week, and he actually couldn't help but mention Ben Vasco, who was really a pretty nice contributor for him as a freshman and sophomore. Transferred back home to St. Paul last year. Was he on your recruiting radar coming out of high school? And coming off of that, how nice was it to get him off of playing as a contributor for such a high-quality team in Arizona State and a defensive-minded coach like Chris Malone?
Yeah, so I wish I could say as great of a recruiter as I am that he was on our radar. Excuse me. Unfortunately, he wasn't. And, athletes fall through the cracks. You miss one or two, every year. And we were very fortunate that sophomore, after his sophomore year, kind of came to us that summer and said he wanted to come to St. Thomas. He's a very spiritual young man. He's majoring in Catholic studies. So his end goals align more with what St. Thomas offered him academically. I know his decision was not based on lacrosse. It was based on what's going to prepare him to meet his goals after graduation. So we're very fortunate that St. Thomas, offered that opportunity to meet those goals. Also offered a great opportunity to play lacrosse. With that being said, we were very fortunate to get him. It's rare that you can find a transfer that can step in right away and lead the defense. I think what also helped him is having people like Jesse Amar and Kevin Gausman, who walked in last year, that were able to kind of get him up to speed. It wasn't so much that we had to teach him anything lacrosse. He came in with incredible fundamentals. It was more of how we do things, and then he can then his ability to then communicate with the rest of our defense. And that ramp-up period was very, very quick. Pretty much by the end of fall ball, you know, he was all in, the learning curve was over. So we were able to, by last season, have him fully playing without kind of figuring it out. So, yeah, I appreciate all the work Chris put into Ben, and I'm sure Ben appreciates as well. And he's having a phenomenal senior season so far, as the kind of true number one defenseman and guy that's kind of got all the pressure to stop other teams' top attack. And so far, he's risen to the challenge.
Coach, your team's last loss was against St. John's in the regular season last year, and you mentioned at the top about how part of your goal for this year's squad is an undefeated season. When you put those two in kind of context against one another, you know, what do you tell your team in terms of trying to make sure that, you know, they understand the place that this game has in your season?
Well, I think both St. Thomas and St. John's, when the schedule comes out, the first thing the players are looking at is when is the Tommy Johnny game. So this is a great rivalry that's pushed our two programs for many years. I don't know that St. Thomas nor St. John's would be where we're at right now without the other. Trying to just compete with each other and stay ahead of each other is really forced a healthy competition. And that's driven our two programs forward. I think that this rivalry has really kind of helped us elevate our games. As we look back at the loss last year, they're a great defense, don't get me wrong, and they're a great team, don't get me wrong, but one of the biggest issues we looked back last year was our execution on offense. And a lot of it came to is that our longtime offensive coordinator, Jim Riley, had moved on to greater things in the professional world, and Rob Horn had taken over, and we were installing not a new offense, but he did things different than Jim did, and the offense kind of wasn't clicking. And I think it took that loss last year for those guys to finally sit in and say, we got to make changes, we got to start listening to Rob. And the next day we sat down and they kind of got to go over the things that we did wrong and say, hey guys, these are the looks that we got to have. And the next day we wound up beating the U of M, and they're also like, wow, we run the system and it works. So I kind of think that loss last year was really the turning point of our offense to start saying, hey, we got to start buying into this system. And it's not Jim Riley's, it's Robbie Horn's. And so I think that with that loss, we learned a lot from that. To where we're at now, and now it's second year into the offensive system. The guys are confident in it. They've had a full fall ball and now half a season to, you know, a year and a half now to be part of it. So it's, you know, the growth into this offense is finally there, and I'm happy with where we're at. We have to get better, but right now it's, I think we're on track.
Coach Moose, you talk about the cast of characters that complete your offense. It was really all about Pete Carboneau last year. It actually seems like Matt Clevin has stepped up into a more integral scoring role this year. But when Terry and the guys at Inside the Cross challenged me to maybe find a few wild card picks for Player of the Year, I was actually really excited to talk about Will Hurstman, just an unbelievable student athlete who, just like you, doubles as a football player and a lacrosse player at St. Thomas. So devastating to hear that he had a run-in with Lyme's disease that took a while to get diagnosed. So far, so good. 5 games played, 6 goals, 2 assists. How has his progress been outside of the stat sheet?
Yeah, this has been a very challenging year for Will. We're not going to sugarcoat that. It's never easy when your football team goes to the national championship game and you don't get to be in the game. You have to sit in the stands with your parents and watch the game. So he was fortunate to be able to go with his family on the plane and be part of that. But unfortunately, it ended his football season shorter than he would have liked. And this was something that took a long time to diagnose. Many weeks in the hospital. He showed up in January. We didn't have him do the conditioning tests, and it's been a slow process. We wanted to make sure that, in the end, that we're not forcing him back, and then further complicating things. Lyme disease isn't something that's just we've diagnosed it. We're gonna treat it, and it's over. This is something that he's gonna be battling, and have good and bad days. You know, it sounds like for a little bit, but we've had very, very good days, and he's, you know, if there's somebody that's going to pull through this at a high level. It's Will. He is a highly dedicated young man to the to studies and highly dedicated to athletics. We never need to worry about Will running and lifting and doing the right things to get his body back in shape. I mean, in this disease, he lost 30 pounds, and that's a lot of weight for someone to lose in a short period of time. And so we got to be real careful that we're doing the right things. If he's working with the trainers, both the football trainers and our trainer, making sure he's doing the right things, working with the doctors, he's putting the weight back on. I mean, you could visibly see it when he came back in January, and it was, but he's, you know, I would say he's probably 85% now. And he's playing well, and he's working hard. So it goes to his great character and his dedication to, you know, to both athletics and academics.
Coach, at the end of last season, coming off of your national championship win, we discussed, you know, we spoke with you and discussed in you know, some detail a lot of the things that have made 2012 unique and in some cases very trying. You know, obviously talking about Will, and I'm sure that there, you know, every coach deals with a lot of different types of things that you know, kind of impact the emotional impact or toll of the season. Can you just kind of put into context how 2013 is shaping up compared to 2012 in that regard so far?
Well, yeah, that last year is probably the hardest year I'll ever go through. And I have to deal with, you know, obviously everyone's got a finite amount of time. Last year was absolutely challenging. And I was fortunate to have a support from the MCLA community, the St. Thomas community, and my own and family and friends. This year I'm just excited to finally be concentrating on lacrosse and not having to, kind of keep my family together and as we went through, you know, a very trying time. So it's fun for me just to finally be back to, you know, a new normal and enjoying my family and just concentrating on lacrosse. So, but you know, it wouldn't be a lacrosse season if there wasn't some sort of medical issue we had to deal with. My wife actually wound up having, we thought it was an appendicitis, but wound up being a kidney stone literally the day before the Western Oregon game. I literally brought her home from the hospital and then went to the Western Oregon game. So I guess maybe every year we're going to deal with something. But that's peanuts compared to the things we went through last year, and every family goes through stuff. We've had other players on this team that have gone through things this year, and we're gonna rise to the occasion and be there for each other. So it's but in the grand scheme of things, it's exciting just to be in a new normal and be focused on what we're trying to accomplish lacrosse-wise.
Well, there's no doubt, and I definitely wanted to, you know, extend, you know, how impressed, you know, I've been with your program and your team's ability to handle all the adversity that's been coming your way, and want to thank you again for joining us on the podcast. Good luck this weekend as you take on your rivalry game.
Real quick, I'm sure you talked to Derek, you know, about the challenge. They're going to go. They're going to have a tough game this Saturday, and with the loss of Adam Gott, and we're going to try to do something special for him, and you know. My hat's off goes to St. John this year. They're going through kind of what we went through last year, but much more closer to home with some when you lose a teammate. So I did want to mention that you know we're going to be there in support of St. John's. We're going to still fight and try to beat them. But I know Saturday night's going to be, you know, St. Thomas is going to dedicate the game to him as well, because we recruited Adam, and he was a great young man. You know, he chose to go to St. John's. You know, we can't all make the right decisions, but. In the end, you know, he was a great kid, and we're going to honor him both sides of the ball.
First class, Moosebrugger. Adam Gott, St. John's University lacrosse player, unfortunately passed away in a motorcycle accident this summer. Our heart goes out to the Gott family and the Minnesota lacrosse community for that tragic loss this summer. Coach Moose, unbelievable to see how you're able to come off a year where you experienced so much adversity and reach out to a rival program who's going through similar things and help them find solace through the season. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you.
So, Dave, the Johnny Tommy game is a landmark in the Minnesota lacrosse scene, and certainly, as I mentioned at the top, a game that all lacrosse fans should at least be mindful of. What are your thoughts on this matchup heading into this weekend?
I think it's a really interesting matchup. I think that this is a game that could easily see itself play out as an MCLA championship game, even though they're from the same region, if the bracket arranges itself that way. They're ranked number 1 and 3 in the polls right now. I think that when you look at these teams' history, they play each other to close games, and, you know, it's never really lopsided as far as the series history is concerned. And the most interesting things that stick out to me is the fact that St. John's is the last team to have knocked off St. Thomas over the course of their winning streak that bleeds in from last season from their championship into their undefeated mark this year. And the fact that St. Thomas will be coming off a Friday night game against Carleton. Will St. John's be able to take advantage of the scouting and their fresh legs to steal a victory? Is St. Thomas maybe going to be a little bit more prepared having played in that environment against Carleton? I mean, Carleton isn't necessarily an opponent that St. Thomas should have too much trouble with, so maybe they warm themselves up, get their starters out, get some bench players some much-needed experience in playing time, and they come into St. John's all that much more prepared. So a lot of interesting dynamics to take out of that. Coach Moosbrugger and Coach Dane, again, two of the best coaches at the MCLA level, and really, once again, awesome to make note of the way that St. Thomas will dedicate the game to the former St. John's player, Adam Gott, who passed away this summer. Coach Moosbrugger experienced a lot in his personal life, welcoming a new addition to his family and his third daughter, but of course losing his father to brain cancer. And with that, St. John's losing Adam Gott in that motorcycle accident this summer, St. Thomas reaching out to St. John's in their time of need and trying to really signify and symbolize that in this regular season rivalry game.
And turning our attention to the Division I side, another top-ranked matchup of MCLA championship contenders, that being Colorado State versus BYU. BYU coming off of a loss to Colorado. Certainly, depending on how this matchup shakes out, could set up an interesting showdown between the Buffaloes and the Rams going forward. But staying focused on this one, Dave, we weren't able to catch up with Colorado State coach Alex Smith, but he did send over a few comments to you. Do you want to share with folks what he said about this matchup?
Absolutely, Terry. Coach Smith and the Colorado State Rams are on the road this morning. He was unable to join us based on some of the things that have been going on with team travel in the sport of lacrosse. Recently, Coach Smith really wanted to be with us this morning, but I really kind of told him, even though that he won't be operating any vehicles, that he should just focus on the trip hand and for the game. But he was very diligent to send us over a statement. I've been on the sideline for two Colorado State BYU Final Four games now in the MCLA championship setting. And, you know, the energy is just real electric, and there's so many things that I could talk about from my end. But coming from Alex Smith himself, a former Colorado State player, assistant coach, now head coach, who, you know, obviously this rivalry just really means a lot to him. And with that, he said, obviously we get really excited for the game this weekend. We know it's going to be a very emotional and exciting game every time that we play BYU, especially given how well both teams have performed so far this year. Provo is a tough place to play, and we haven't won there in the regular season, going back to at least 2007, as far as I can personally remember. There are definitely a lot of memories as a player and coach I have about going up against BYU. Probably the best game I ever played as a goaltender was in Provo in 2003. I had a bunch of saves and squeaked out a win on the way to our national championship that year. But the best game in MCL history is still probably the 2001 semifinal game in St. Louis. I love it when they bring history back into this. That was probably the best game I was ever a part of, even though I didn't step on the field being a backup goalie. We won 10-9, and I still think of that game as the high watermark in terms of what the MCLA has become since. That was a legit lacrosse game between two rivals, and it was far from a club lacrosse matchup. As for this year, they are such a good riding team, and they're so good at ground balls that we're going to have to really do our best to play our game to give ourselves a chance this weekend. I have a feeling that it's going to be a great atmosphere, and it looks like it's going to be great weather too. The MCLA could use some of that. So it's going to be a great game that I'm really looking forward to. So Alex, apologizing that we were unable to hook up, you know, what a statement, Terry. I think that he did a great job of summing up what the general sense of the rivalry is, taking in memories from when he was a player, not only that of when he was personally between the pipes and had a strong performance, but even crediting a game that he necessarily wasn't a part of in regards to his contributions on the field, noting that as the best game in MCLA history and, you know, doing a very good job to denote that the St. Tom, St. John, the St. John, St. Thomas games, Colorado, BYU, Colorado State, Colorado, Arizona, Arizona State. Yes, it's MCLA club level lacrosse, but you show up to these games, you watch what the student athletes and the coaches put into it, and at the end of the day, it's just good college lacrosse.
No doubt. And yeah, that's true. The historical angle is certainly an interesting one. You know, one that we always love to, to have in the mix. But let's go ahead and try to bring in BYU Cougar coach Matt Schneck right now, and we will talk about the Provo side of the perspective. And the Inside Lacrosse MCLA podcast continues with BYU head coach Matt Schneck, who's in the middle of practice with the Cougars right now as they prepare for their showdown with the Colorado State Rams this weekend in Provo. Coach Schneck, thanks so much for your time. We really appreciate you stepping aside on the sidelines to talk with us. And I guess to kick things off, you're coming off of a week. We spoke late last week about on the field again after your win over Stanford. And then, you know, you turned around and suffered a setback against Colorado, but another top-tier opponent in the MCLA. I guess kind of, what do you take away from those two games, and where do you feel like your team's at right now?
Oh, you bet. Well, hey, first of all, thanks for having me on today. And, you know, it was a tough week for us last week. We had four games against four top 10 teams. And, you know, when you take a look at that and you look at the just the emotional and the physical aspect of putting that kind of effort together was certainly it was a challenge for us. You know, we got out of that the first two games with Oregon and Cal, went into the that Stanford game, and you know at the time you know Stanford was undefeated, and they had put together a really great season up until that point. They had some extremely talented guys on their team, and you know, we went into that game and we had a nice game plan in place. The guys were really excited, and you know we went in and we played a real strong game. We had a very specific you know, game plan in place, what we needed to do and what we thought we needed to do to stop their offense. You know, again, they've got some, you know, a couple of really extremely talented offensive players. And, you know, we were fortunate that it worked. And, you know, the guys were excited about the win and, it made for a good trip home. Now, you know, as we did make that trip home and we finally got back to Provo, you know, again, you're looking at, leaving on Sunday, long bus ride out to California, three games in 3 days, long bus trip back. We had a day of rest in between when we got back out to play Colorado on Saturday. Again, Colorado coming into town, we knew they were going to be a strong opponent, and they're coming in undefeated as well. And, you know, we played a great game against Colorado until the last 2 minutes of the game. And, you know, it was the last 2 minutes that killed us. You know, so we learned some things from that. You know, number one, we learned from Stanford that, you know, we put together our game plan and make sure that we execute things properly. We can have success on the field. We look at Colorado's game, and we look at, again, same thing. We had a decent game plan, and we executed for a good part of the game. But ultimately, Colorado had just had a little bit of an edge over us in regards to, I think, not only their just their energy level, but also when it came down to at the end of the game, I think that we just ran out of a little bit of steam. And you know, I think the four games that week started to pay its toll. Now, I think what we learned from it, probably most importantly, is I think that number one, these guys learned that Colorado is certainly a team that they can compete with and a team that that they can beat. And that's not, you know, any disrespect to Colorado because they did a great job. But, you know, these guys were in the game the entire game, and it was just until those last couple of minutes. And, secondly, I think the takeaway from this that, we can play four games, against four great teams in a week. And that's what needs to be simulated to, experience that again in South Carolina and be successful with it.
Coach Schneck, as long as I've been covering the MCLA, this is my third year, but in the two full seasons that I've covered the MCLA, you've made a habit of playing Colorado State three times a year. I'm sure it happened numerous times in past histories. Is that something that you almost prepare for at this point, considering your history with one another?
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, with as good as Colorado's playing right now, it might be Colorado that we play three times this year, too. You know, it one way or another, yeah, we do expect it and we anticipate it, because we look at it and we say, one way or another, we are either going to have to play Colorado three times, or we're going to have to play Colorado State three times to make it to the national championship. And it's possible, with the way things work out, we could play both of them three times and face one of them in the national championship. And so, you know, with that being said, yeah, it is definitely something that we anticipate at this point. You're looking at Rocky Mountain Lacrosse Conference and having, you know, three of the top teams in the entire country that have to play each other every single year in the regular season, play again in the conference championships, and then just the way that it seems to always work out, we end up playing each other again in the you know, in the nationals. And so, again, we haven't seen CSU yet. We know they're having a great season so far. We are anticipating that they're going to be doing a bang-up job the rest of the season. And so we know that it's just inevitable. Colorado, again, after seeing them play, they're a great team. And they're a team that deserves to be ranked where they're ranked. And so, again, we anticipate that it's going to be one or the other for sure three times this year.
Coach Schnack, talking about this team in particular, you've got a player in Mikkel Walker who has played D-Mini in seasons past and, you know, has 26 points to date this year. What do you attribute his offensive development to?
New rule changes. You know, Mikkel is an outstanding outstanding lacrosse player. And, you know, we have prided, you know, just had a lot of pride in our defensive middies over the years. And this year we don't have defensive middies. And, you know, we took on a different approach this year with the rule changes. And as they removed the sideline whistles and the game sped up a little bit and we noticed that we were needing to keep guys on the field, what we did was we made that transition with our guys. And what we discovered was that Mikkel was an all-around lacrosse player. And, you know, in years past, we even talked about this as a coaching staff, saying, oh, maybe we should have discovered this earlier about Mikkel, because he could have had even greater production in years past. But, you know, we had a lot of offensive firepower on our team over the last couple of years that just graduated. And so, you know, you kind of take things year by year. You look at what you have from a personnel standpoint, and you do your best to put them in the right positions and the right spots to be successful. This year, it was just it was an absolute result of the fact that there was those rule changes. And with as much as we graduated last year from the offensive side of the ball, it opened up opportunities for Mikkel, and he has flourished and just done a great job leading the team as not only an offensive player, but also as a captain of the team.
Coach Schnack, when we had when we read Alex Smith's statement earlier in the podcast, he really attributed the very rigid Provo atmosphere as something that his teams in seasons past have always had to prepare for time and time and again. It's been a while since Colorado has actually picked up a win in Provo by his history records. What makes the home field advantage in this game so special, and what makes your lacrosse community and your fans so special in general?
Well, you know, first of all, I think just the history with the BYU and CSU rivalry has always been a very highly emotional and very intense, tense rivalry. And that by itself just automatically raises the bar in regards to the intensity of the game. You know, when it comes to what happened here in Provo, we've been very fortunate. You know, over the last few years, we've really been reaching out to the community, to the youth leagues, the high school teams, and just, you know, the college, the whole lacrosse community in general, in making sure that they're getting to experience the best of college lacrosse here in Utah. And so with that, we've been able to invite just a very large number of people to come out to the games and to participate. And so what you find is people come out to the games at BYU and they just have a tremendous time. They are experiencing some great lacrosse. And when you get BYU and CSU together, it always promises to be a fantastic game. And, you know, we get thousands of people to come out and watch the game. And so, you know, when that happens, you get a lot of energy that's there as well. You know, when it comes down to home field advantage and things like that, obviously the guys love to play in front of their own crowd, and they love to play for their friends and family and all the people that come out to watch them. And you know, when we do have the opportunity to have home games, you know, we try to make them the best that we can. You know, when we take a look at our season, you know, we put 17 regular season games on our schedule every year. And, you know, we're fortunate that, you know, we'll get hopefully 7 or 8 of those games at home, and the rest of them are, you know, we're traveling. We do a lot of traveling. But it's always nice to be able to come home, and it's always nice for these guys to be able to play on their own field. You know, they play games at the same places that they practice, so they get accustomed to and used to the field. And they, you know, they're accustomed to the, you know, to the crowd and all the things that go along with it. And it just all around makes it for a special environment. You add to that again this this incredible rivalry that we've had between BYU and CSU. You know, there's more national championships with the, you know, these two combined than all the other teams in the country. And you know, so with that, it's just, you know, that you're going to have great lacrosse. And that's probably what makes it the most fun and the most special of all.
You mentioned all the historical matchups that these two teams have kind of played when they tangled. Last year's most recent meeting was a little bit lopsided. What do you attribute that to?
CSU's fantastic defense. There's no doubt about it. You know, you take a look at last year, and you know, we went to Colorado during the regular season, and we beat Colorado State when we were there. And then what happened is we got into the, you know, we got into our conference championships and we lost. CSU made adjustments that we didn't make, went into the national championships, and it happened again. And I attribute that 100% to their fantastic defense. I mean, they had the best defense in the country last year, and we had the best offense in the country last year. But when they came head-to-head, their defense outperformed our offense. And that's about the only way you can put it. If you look at the point totals and you look at what we were producing from an offensive standpoint compared to what they were doing defensively, you knew that it was going to be a fantastic matchup. And at the end of the day, they did a better job than we did, and they came out on top. You know, I'm anticipating this year that, you know, again, CSU's got one of the top defenses in the country again. And so we're hoping that we're putting together a game plan that's going to be able to match up against them a little bit better than we did last year.
Coach Neck, one of my favorite things personally about the RMLC is the rich tradition and the way that alumni give back to their programs in your conference. Alex Smith, obviously a long-tenured alumni and arguably the best player in Colorado State history. Marty Taffet is a former defenseman for Colorado, now serving as their defensive coordinator. You and Jordan Harris are both alumni of the program. Your whole coaching staff is BYU alums. It's been that way for a long time. That being said, Matt Schneck, your best memory from playing Colorado State when you were a Cougar?
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, there's a lot of fun memories when we go back and take a look at at the days of the rivalries that that go back. I look back, and again, it's been a few years now, and I look back at all of the different opportunities that we've had as a coaching staff to make these games special. And I'll tell you, there's every single year, there's probably something a little bit different that that made it special. And I think probably my favorite game with BYU and a CSU rivalry was actually when we were playing at University of Denver in Denver. And we were playing there at BYU-CSU. And it was on a big stage. We had had the game just just prior to a Division I NCAA game that was going to be played that game that day. And we came out. We had a fantastic game. It was a good one for BYU. We happened to win that game. And but I just remember the stage. I remember the setting. I remember the fans that were there, and the all around experience and the environment. And it was just a fantastic memory. And every single year, when you look back at the season, you know that one of the highlights is always going to be that BYU and CSU game. And it's going to be one of those things that the guys are looking forward to. They know it. They look forward to it every single year. And you can just tell that it's one of those things that that's a big deal when it comes down to how the season plays out. And I don't anticipate anything less this year.
Well, Coach Matt Schneck, that'll do it for this edition of the Inside Lacrosse MCLA podcast. We really thank you for joining us, and good luck this weekend. We hope for all the best for those out involved in the RMLC matchup, and we'll hope to talk to you again soon.
Hey, thanks so much, guys. Have a great day.
Inside Lacrosse Podcast.